Our theme for the month is look at what the Lord has done. And so our verse for this month is, oh, give thanks to the Lord, which should be something that we do every day, all the time. We shouldn't hit our feet on the ground without giving thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting me wake up again. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done for me. Thank you for this roof over my head. Thank you that it doesn't have any leaks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We should be thanking him all the time. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. With that in mind, I've titled this message, Go Tell It on the Mountains. I thought that that was pretty seasonal, appropriate timing, because we are, the whole reason for the season is Jesus. It's not a man in a red suit. It's not the gifts under the tree. It's the gift in the manger. Amen. The whole reason that we're here is because God sent his only begotten son. His only son that became from him. He sent him for us. Those that he adopted as children. And we should be telling it on the mountains. We should be telling everyone we meet, Merry Christmas. Yeah, God bless you. Jesus came. Jesus is here. Jesus is the reason. We should be telling everyone all of the time about this baby that turned into a savior. It is the reason that we are able to be called. Jesus is the reason that we are able to be called sons and daughters of God. We are adopted into the bloodline of God. How incredible is that? Do you know that in the Jewish tradition, a natural born child can be disinherited? They can be cut off. They can be separated. They can be ostracized. They can be completely shunned and rejected. But it is illegal to do that to someone who is adopted. Once they are adopted, they are forever in that bloodline. And there is no difference between that person and the natural children. Except for that the natural children can be cut off and the adopted can never be cut off. And we are adopted children of the Most High God. And we should be shouting that from the rooftops all of the time. Do you know? Do you even know what our Savior did? Do you even know? Because it's so good what he did for us. I'm going to sing the song to you guys. It's happening. You guys are getting it. It's singing time. And then we're going to talk about it a little bit. So the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, goes like this. And if you know it, sing it with me. Don't make me sing up here alone, okay? All right.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains. mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Down in lowly manger, our humble Christ was born and brought us all salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. Oh, Jesus Christ is born.
It's so good. There's so much in there. But I want to talk specifically today about a couple of things. I want to talk about the location, and I want to talk about the visitors. And so the location, the Son of God, the Son of God came into this world through a human woman. This Son of God was fully God. I'm not sure there was even any of Mary's DNA in him. She was the incubator. And then she got the untold pleasure of raising our Savior. And Joseph did too. And that always struck me as odd when they were like, he's going to be born into the line of David. But I'm like, but Joseph was, you know, when they do the genealogy, it's Joseph that they talk about, but he was had Mary's DNA. What's going on there? I don't think he had either of their DNA, but he was adopted. Therefore, he was in the line. Therefore, it didn't matter if he had the same genetics as those two. He was in the line. And he was raised by two wonderful, I'm assuming they're wonderful, God wouldn't have picked schmucks, people, to raise his son, to care for his son, to cradle his son and rock him to sleep. He chose Mary and Joseph to do that. He could have chosen the king and queen. He could have chosen the high priest. He could have chosen anyone. But he chose a young girl. He chose a young man who had to travel. And by the time they got there, they didn't even have the ability to get a hotel. They didn't even have the ability to get an Airbnb. They didn't even have the ability to say, hey, cousin Bob, do you got a place to stay? They had to stay with the sheep and the cows and the donkeys. And it probably didn't smell very good. It probably wasn't very warm. That's where they stayed. And they had their son. Our wonderful, amazing creator of the universe sent his son, who is fully God and fully man, into the humblest of beginnings. He condescended into the world to love us because he loved us so much that he knew that, and he knew that this was the only way to redeem us. So he condescended into this world because he loved us so much. And he came into a position that anybody could raise up to. You didn't have to raise up very far. He was born and placed into the feeding trough of the animals. That's not a high bar. He was accessible. Our God made his son accessible for everyone. And if that's not good news to be shouting from the mountains, I don't know what is. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. You're probably not having to put your newborn baby in a dog bowl. Okay? You're probably not having to put your newborn baby in the pig trough. You're not, no matter where you're at in your life, Jesus is accessible. Okay, This should be something that we should shout from the rooftops. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be anything other than who God made you to be. And where you're at is perfectly acceptable to come to Christ, because you don't have to be perfect to come to Christ. You have to be willing to come to Christ. Once you come to Christ, He'll work on the perfecting you. Because that's His job. That's not our job. Our job is not to be perfect. It's to be willing. That's where grace comes in. Okay. So I want to take a look at the visitors. The visitors that came. We looked at the location. We're going to look at the visitors. There was two sets of people that came to visit Jesus. And there's some timing things, like some controversy over when both of these things happened. But the first one was the shepherds. And we're going to read this. This is in Luke 2, 6 through 15. You might have to actually get your Bibles out. We're having a technology day. That's what I like to call them. When technology just doesn't want to work for me, we just have some technology days, and that's okay. So it says in Luke 2, 6 through 15, it says, "And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the field nearby, guarding the flocks of sheep. Suddenly," I love that, suddenly. It wasn't like a soft glow from the distance. It didn't look like a train coming down the track. It was a suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So just take a minute and let's get into their mindset. "Hi, Betty. You're looking awful fluffy today. All right. Susie over there. Come on, little sheepy. Okay, we're all getting down, ready for bed. It's just about time. We might have a fire going. We're going to tell some stories around the fire with the other shepherds. They're getting ready for sleep. It's just about time for them to relax. They have all of their things in a row. All of their assignments for the day are done. They just have to make sure the sheep don't wander. They can take turns sleeping. It's not a big deal." And suddenly, there's this radiant glory that's so intense that it shakes the air. They go, I can imagine that they're cold, trying to get warm by this fire. And suddenly this radiant glory shines on them. And suddenly they're not cold anymore. Their fingertips are nice and toasty warm, because the glory of God is so unbelievably powerful that everything else just melts away. Suddenly, the angel appeared. So cool. And they were terrified, which, yeah, I would be too. They'd probably been out there a time or two. This probably was not their first night on the fields. They had probably spent several nights there, and nothing out of the ordinary happened. And then suddenly, they probably thought there was an explosion coming. We've reached the end of the world, folks. They were terrified. Suddenly they had a change of posture from, "Oh, get ready for bed," to, "Oh my gosh, what's happening?" Probably thinking, "Oh no, I'm never going to be able to kiss my kids goodbye. I'm never going to be able to do this or that or the other," because they didn't know what was going on. Sometimes when the glory hits you, you don't know what's going on. But when He reveals Himself to you, that fear goes away. Amen? Okay. "Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people.'" All the people, not His selected few, not just the Jews, not just the Hebrews, all the people. And we get to be included in that, all the people. "The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, He has been born today in Bethlehem. the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So I want to talk about the shepherds for a minute. You know, the shepherds, while it's respectable to be a shepherd, that's not exactly a high position of authority. It's pretty dirty work. They probably missed a lot of celebrations and festivals and holy days because they couldn't do the ceremonial cleansing required because their job duties took them out. So they were separated from some of their fellowship. They were not able to join in as much as some of the others. They were considered maybe a little looked down on because, oh, they're just shepherds. Go get out with your sheep. Go. It's, you know, I don't really want you in my restaurant because you smell a little like sheep. They had to, their job required them to touch dead animals, which made them ceremonially unclean, which then meant that they could not partake in the Lord's Supper. They could not partake in, not the supper, the services, that anything. They couldn't partake in anything until they got ceremonially clean. And they didn't have much chance to do that because they were constantly with their sheep. That was their job. And so they were lowly. Maybe not lowly, but God presented him, sent his angels down to announce to people who were not the highest of the highs. He didn't send them to the magistrates. He didn't send the angels to the senator and the president and he sent them to the farmers and said, "Guess what? Your Savior is born." And where did they find him? While they were tending the sheep. And the spot that they were at, these sheep were probably the sheep that were meant for sacrifice in the temple. He sent his angels. God sent his angels to those shepherds and said, "Guess what? Your Savior is born." And when they got there, they found a Savior that was accessible to them. Accessible. They didn't have to go, "Oh, well, he's in this palace. I can't get to him. I can't reach him. He's too high up there." No. They were able to go right into the barn, right into the feeding trough, and see their Savior. Isn't that incredible? He was accessible for them. So, the second group of men were the wise men, also known as the Magi. And we're going to turn to Matthew 2, 1 through 12. And that says, "Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, 'Where is the newborn king of the Jews?'" Can you imagine being the king, the what now? I'm the king of the Jews. I'm the king of everybody around here. The newborn what now? I didn't have any more children last night that I know about. What are you talking about? No? Wrong? Yeah, I just, what? Because these were respected people. These were not the sanitary workers that cleaned out the king's, latrine. These were the Magi from a distant land. They were respected. They were received into the king's inner court. They got an audience with the king. Not everybody can get an audience with the king. They got an audience with the king. And they said, where's the newborn king? The king of the Jews. We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. And King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? He didn't even know. He didn't even know where the Messiah was supposed to be born. He didn't even know the Torah well enough to know where the Messiah was supposed to be born. And that's something that they read all the time. They read the Torah all the time. This passage in the Torah all the time about the Messiah and the... Anyway, that's a rabbit trail I'm not going to get into. So he called a meeting of the priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is this Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said. For this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be a shepherd for my people, Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. Lies. After the interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Notice they didn't bow down to Herod. I'm just saying. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So the wise men, this was a group of scholars, astronomers, priests from the east, from the Babylonian. The Magi typically lived in the palace with the king. They were his priests, his scholars, his astronomers, his advice. Like, they were important. They were probably the biggest deal you can get next to the king. They were a big deal. It wasn't just some smart guys that, you know, figured some things out and came on a trip. These guys were a big deal. They were well respected. Well respected. They were rich. They were rich. And they followed a prophecy. Nobody told them. They didn't get angels appearing to them. They followed a prophecy. And so we're going to do just a little compare and contrast here. The shepherds were poor. The wise men were rich. The shepherds slept with sheep. The wise men slept in a palace. The shepherds were uneducated. The wise men were very educated as you can possibly get. The shepherds were not able to always be in society, accepted by society, in fellowship with their people, whereas the wise men were revered and welcomed wherever they went, even into the king's court. The shepherds were Jews. The wise men were Gentiles. The shepherds were local. They were just right around the corner. They just got up and went to where the baby was. They didn't even have to, like, take a nap. They just went. They were right there. Whereas the wise men had to travel a very long distance. The shepherds came with nothing but an open heart, ready for their Savior. And the wise men came with very valuable gifts. Those gifts were worth a king's ransom. They were like equivalent today in the tens of thousands of dollars at a minimum, depending on how much they are. Small boxes would be worth that much in their time in that place. They had enough to, through those gifts, to get them to Egypt where they were called to next. Through those gifts, they were able to do the things that they needed to do next. God was providing the way even before they knew they needed it. Now, what did they have in common? Jesus. That's it. That is what connected them. That is their common denominator, is Jesus and the willingness to say, "You're the Messiah. You're the one who's going to save us all. You're it. You're it. You are going to save us all." I love that our Jesus, the one that my Jesus, I'm going to just claim him as mine. You can do the same. Feel free. My Jesus came down and is accessible to me on my lowest day. When I maybe have blown it with the kids, when I maybe have been really frustrated with my husband, when I have just had a little hissy fit over here, not been as kind as I needed to be, when I maybe sped a little too fast and got a speeding ticket, when I maybe did these things, Jesus is accessible to me. He is there for me at my lowest. And when I'm excelling and I'm doing everything right and I'm being super mom and I'm doing all the things that I know I'm supposed to be doing and I'm riding high, Jesus is accessible. He's there for me. And I don't have to be riding high all the time. It's okay to come to him in the middle of an anxiety attack and say, "Jesus, I need help because this is not from you and I want only what's from you." He's accessible to do that. And don't you want everyone to know that? Don't you want everyone to know that you don't have to be perfect to come to him? That he's going to be there for you. That he's going to be your Savior. And all you have to do is come and take your brokenness, take your heartache, take your anxiety, take your depression, take your pain, take your guilt, and bring it to him and say, "Look at this mess. I don't know what to do with it. I can't keep walking down this road anymore. Can you help me?" And he is accessible and he will do it. When you were at your lowest, didn't you want somebody that you could take your mess to and say, "Just fix it. Help me"? We live in a lost and dying world full of a lot of broken, a lot of guilt, a lot of mess, a lot of shame, a lot of anxiety, a lot of confusion, and a lot of them don't know that they have this wonderful, perfect, accessible Savior who's not going to judge them but is going to love them and love them through their sin, through their shame, through their mess, through their guilt. And the closer that they get to him, the more of that falls away. We're not here to perfect people or to bring in perfect people. We're here to bring people closer to the perfecter. And so our job is to go and tell it on the mountains. to go and tell it to everyone because I have someone in my life. I have a personal relationship with someone that can heal every wound, that can touch every broken heart, that can be with me when I feel my anxiety rising and rising and rising and rising and rising. And I don't have to be perfect all of the time. I can say, God, I'm a mess right now. But I know somebody who has a pretty good mop. Can you help me clean it up? And he's faithful to do so. He is faithful, faithful, faithful to do so. You know, the woman at the well, very, very famous story. And I've gone through it before. And so I'm not going to read it. And most of you know this story of the woman of the well. But Jesus goes to the Samaritan well. He could have gone any other route. There was other routes. He didn't have to go through Samaria, which it says, John, when he wrote about it, said he had to go. Geographically, he didn't have to go. But he had to go. He had to. He had to go. He had to go to Samaria. And when he got to Samaria, he found a woman who had been married 5 times. And this woman was in the heat of the day because the women didn't want to associate with her. She was pretty lowly, but he was pretty accessible. He came to her and said, "Oh, sweetie, I know everything you've done. I know you've got problems. I know you've got a past. I know you're a mess. I know that you're not doing the things you know you're supposed to be doing. I don't care. I don't care. I love you anyway. I care about you anyway. Bring your mess to me. I'll help. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to carry this alone." And he was so accessible to her, who felt worthless, who felt unloved, who felt rejected, who felt dejected, who felt misplaced, who felt put aside. He reached out his hand to her and said, "You don't have to be aside anymore. You can come right front and center into my presence, into my throne room, and I'll be here for you. We'll walk this together. I've got you." And she was so excited. She could not hold it in. She had to go and tell everyone. She was the world's first evangelist, this woman. She went and told everybody, "Hey, there's this guy. And he knew everything I did. And he still reached out to me. He still took me in. Do you know that he said that there was living water, that I don't have to feel dry and empty inside anymore? I can come to him and I can be filled with his presence. I can be filled." Do you have any idea what this feels like, this feeling inside of me now? You gotta get you some. Come on, you gotta get you some. Let's go. You got to meet this guy. This guy can fix it. He can fix anything that's wrong with you. He can fix it. Just because we don't have a flesh and bone Jesus on this earth right now doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing the same thing. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't be going and telling him of the things that he did for us. You know, I've been healed of multiple things. I've been provided for. I have been loved. I have been cared for. And I should be sharing that with everybody any chance that I get. I should not be keeping those things to myself. I should be at every chance. Guys, guess what happened to me at church? God healed me. He healed me.
He healed my body, he touched my mind, he saved me, oh, just in time, oh, I'm gonna praise his name. We should be doing that everywhere. 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 And we really need to watch our mouths. That's something I have a hard time with sometimes, especially when I'm not feeling good. I don't sick well or pain well. I get a little whiny. Fix it, God. But I get a little whiny. And so it's something that I've worked on really, really a lot lately. And so this last bout of sickness came around and just kind of ran through my family a little bit. And I wasn't feeling great. And I just, anytime someone asks me how I'm doing, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored, even if my body doesn't feel good right now, because it doesn't. I'm standing on my healing, because I know the healer, and I know I'm going to just get right through this. And even if it's uncomfortable for a little bit, I'm okay with that, because I know the healer, and I know that he's not going to forsake me. He's not going to leave me abandoned. He's not going to be like, well, I healed you that once. You filled your quota. I'm done with you. We're going to move on to the next guy. You've had enough healing. Don't be selfish. No, that's not my Jesus. That's not my God. My God is the healer. Not he was the healer. Not he's going to be somebody else's healer. Not he might heal me if I do enough good works. He is the healer. That healing is accessible. And I need to stand on it whether I feel it or not. That doesn't mean I won't go to the doctor. That doesn't mean I won't do the things that I know in the natural to do while relying on God to do everything else and be the supernatural. I believe that God can use doctors. I believe that God can provide medicine. I believe that God can provide knowledge and wisdom to doctors to get you the right medicine that you need. But I also believe in miracles. And if your miracle hasn't happened yet, you need to go to the doctor. That's okay. But we need to be standing on our healing and claiming our healing, which is a lot easier to do when you're feeling pretty good than it is when you have a sinus infection. But our words matter. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, one of the last set of words in that whole story, he had been tempted. They fought back and forth with scripture. Jesus won. It says that the devil went away until next time. Not Jesus defeated him, he's gone forever. The devil will lie in wait, waiting for you. Oh, well, you won that battle. You got me that time. I'm just going to go away now. And then he's around the corner just waiting so that he can whisper into your ear all the things you've ever done wrong. That you're not good enough for Jesus. Guess what? That's a lie. Jesus is accessible. He was born in a manner to prove that he was accessible. Not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Not just to the poor, not just for the poor, but for the rich. Not just for the dejected, but for the revered. He was born into this world to be accessible for everyone. It is God's will that not one should perish, but that all should have eternal life. But if you don't know something, and if the people in our lives don't know, that's our fault. Because we were called by the Great Commission to go into the world and preach the good news. And guess what? The people in your life are in your world. Now, if you've preached the good news and you've told them about the Savior who's accessible and here and ready and willing and waiting and has open arms and is ready to receive you into their fold and they've rejected it, you've done your job. It's not on you anymore. It's not your job to chase them. It's your job to plant a seed. And if the seed is rejected, you just get that dust right off your feet and you move to the next. Because God, it's not your job to bring them in. It's your job to tell them. And so you don't have to worry about whether or not the things you're telling them are effective. That's His job. You just have to be willing. Amen? The other story that I love is the woman with the bleeding. Another woman. You know, us women like to talk. We're really good at it. Ask me how I know. So the woman with the bleeding, she had been ostracized from society for years and years and years and years. And just going into that crowd could have gotten her beat, could have gotten her thrown out of town, could have gotten her probably killed. I don't know. I'm just guessing. It was a huge risk. And she got through the throng of people. I went to a high school where anytime we had passing hall, it was a throng of people. You had to get really good about squeezing through and getting through people. And so to get to one specific person that people are just flooding around had to have been hard, especially since she was wearing clothes that said that she was unclean, because that was a requirement of the time. You couldn't just go to Nordstrom and get some nice clothes. You had to wear certain kinds of clothes to say that you're unclean so that no one accidentally touched you and then became unclean themselves. So she was ostracized in every way, and she squeezed through, risking her life that the wrong person would see her at any moment, touching all of these people, making them all unclean, to touch the hem of His garment. Just the hem, because she didn't want to make Him, the Savior, unclean. How often do we not go to Jesus because we think our sin is too big? Our shame is too big. And, you know, I have this. And I know that you could just take it away, but it's too big. And I don't want to make you unclean by my actions. Guess what? God's too big for that. He's not going to be unclean by anything that you do. He is sovereign. You can take anything to Him and He can clean it. How often, though, are we that person? And she decided, this is worth it. This is worth the risk. She went and she touched Him. And I love when Jesus says, daughter. Not woman. He called His own mother woman. Not this person. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Do you think she kept that to herself? No, she went and changed clothes. She went and got a new outfit. She wasn't dirty anymore. She was clean. And she knew the Maker who made her clean. And therefore, she wasn't going to shut up about it. She was going to go tell everyone. You all know me. You know my story. You've seen me on the outskirts. You've seen me begging. You've seen me in misery for years. You know where I was 10 years ago, because I was a wealthy woman and now I'm destitute. But I'm clean. And do you have any idea who did that? And she pointed people to Jesus. And if He could do that for me, you don't have it as bad as I do. What And when you think your testimony or the things that you've done, that you've been healed from, that you've been forgiven of, that you've been healed, like, if you think that it's too much and too shameful to share, you're blocking blessings. Because when people see that he's done this for you with all that you've went through, all that you've been through, all that you've done, they can see that he'll do it for them. Don't be afraid to share your testimony. Don't be afraid to share your testimony. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. 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 Did y'all get anything tonight? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we worship you. We honor you, Father. We're so grateful that you sent your Son to be accessible. We're so grateful for all that you do for us. We're so thankful that no matter what mess we are in or what mess we are making, that we can come to you and you'll get them up. Lord, I thank you for it. I worship you. I honor you. I glorify you. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you're listening tonight, out here or up there, and this hits a chord with you, and you don't know Jesus, but you want to, it's really simple. You just pray and ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to cleanse you of your sins. Declare with your mouth that he's the Lord and believe it in your heart, and you'll be saved. That's what the Bible says. God's got you. No matter where you're at, he's got you. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for watching. Thank you for joining in. Thank you guys for coming. Amen. Amen. Amen.